I'm going to say preserves, but that's probably not the right word. But like,
let's go with preserves. I like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Those nature-y places to walk around.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. We're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. My name is Chris Roby, and over across from me is Carly Duke.
Hello.
Well, good to be back with you, Carly. Today, I don't know if this is something that you ever struggled with in your high school days. I famously don't remember a whole lot about high school, but I do remember this being a little awkward socially. Not like chronically, like where it was like a huge problem, but I do remember, even to this day, have every now and then just some social awkwardness.
I was going to say, I feel like I still have some social awkwardness. It's not just a teenage thing.
Yeah, and this is a big thing you hear about with teenagers. You might remember just being just a little bit awkward, and it's a good thing to think through and talk through, especially if you have a student who maybe just even self-reports. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do with my hands. Don't know, small talk, that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, I think it's a big one that I think you hear social anxiety a lot, and that's kind of a more extreme version of social awkwardness. Mm-hmm. But I think, this is just me speaking, I think a lot of people have social awkwardness at some point. If, like you said, not all the time, they're going to get in a situation where they feel socially awkward. And so this is a good topic to talk about with your teens. And just to kind of give the definition, if you're like, okay, but what does that actually mean? Social awkwardness is when you feel uncomfortable or out of place in social situations. And I'll post the link, of course, but I found that around 15% of people have social skill challenges, communication difficulties, and they would be considered socially awkward.
That number seems low.
I know, but like I said, I think that number, if I had to guess, is more like consistently socially awkward, like they feel that way all the time. But I'm sure if you polled, everyone would have felt socially awkward at least once in the past year.
Yeah, and I got to think, and I know everything still comes back to COVID, but I feel like that experience collectively set so many people back from the social side, where you're just having to reengage with people, even though it's been a while. A lot of teenagers just don't quite know how to interact. And, there's still, we were talking before this, masks are still present in a lot of schools, by choice. And that creates some awkwardness as well, because you can't see people's faces. And so there's a lot of dynamics at play that kind of make this conversation that much more important.
Well, I think especially in the mask discussion, which I don't want to get into like our beliefs or anything like that, but I think it can cause awkwardness because you're not sure who's talking. I've been in group situations before where I'm like, I don't know who's talking because I can't see whose lips are moving. But also for a while, you could cover up a lot of social awkwardness with the mask because you didn't have to talk. You didn't have to worry about people looking at your face. And so now that we're not wearing masks as often, that might also bring up more social awkwardness because you're like, man, I haven't done this in a while. I'm like still trying to figure out what this looks like in this setting. And so I wanted to talk first about like some signs of if you are socially awkward or what that looks like for your teenager. So one of the big ones is, I think you kind of mentioned this, Chris, but if you're worried about what to say. Mm. So almost overthinking before you even get in a situation of like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. If you're nervous about meeting new people, or like I said, kind of that overthinking.
I think it really exists in the realm of small talk, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you like small talk. I hate it. I can get by, but I am in my head the whole time thinking this is awkward. This is painful. I don't know what to say, especially if it's someone I don't really know or know what their interests are. I connect on interests usually. And if I don't know that, that's tough. So especially as our students are interacting with each other and being really worried about what to say, that's hard to push past. If you don't know exactly what to say, it's easier just not to say anything. And that can be really awkward.
Yeah, it can be. And in social settings, which I feel like is where you see this social awkwardness a lot, it could look like fidgeting a lot. Or maybe you get a little sweaty because you're nervous. Or you, if you don't know what to say, you have difficulty talking.
One of the words don't come out the way you want to. Stutter, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yes. That stutter is a big one too, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. One I see, I feel like a lot in our groups, is if they struggle to keep eye contact.
Mm.
Like they just really avoid eye contact. They're not sure who to look at, or looking you in the eyes is difficult.
Yeah. I think the inability to read body language is huge. I think with the mask time, we relied a lot more on body language because that's what we could see, right?
Right.
And so, but when you misread body language, that can be really awkward and just feeling just generally anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that being worried about what to say is the driver behind that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I think we talked about social situations, but I did kind of just want to mention, where do teens feel social awkwardness? Because I think we might think, oh, it's only when they're meeting new people, but that's not the case. You can even feel social awkwardness in a group of people that you've known for a very long time if the situation's different. And so it could just be school.
Mm.
As I said, meeting new people is a big one. If they're going to a party, a birthday party, a holiday party, all of those things, those are kind of coming up where you're going to get a lot more parties for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Even things like sporting events.
Absolutely. So phone calls, big family gatherings, all these different things. You talked about feeling awkward around a group of people that you already know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that could be just because people changed, right? So a lot of times that would happen after the end of a school year and you come back to school and you're coming back to, it's been a few months since you've seen these people, but everyone's changed, right? Mm-hmm. We're all different people. That can happen in families as, our kids grow or we change. And so, just because there's familiarity doesn't necessarily mean that we're not at risk for some awkwardness, for sure.
Right. And this happened last spring, maybe, where I walked into a situation where I knew everyone in the room, but Josh was sick that day, maybe. And so usually he was with me and he wasn't that day. Mm. And there like wasn't a seat with everyone. So I had to kind of sit by myself. After that, I've never felt more uncomfortable in my entire life. In a place where I knew everyone, they knew me, but I just felt very out of place. And it was somewhere I went every week. And so like a small change like that, like one friend who's usually there and isn't, or the seat they usually sit in is being sat in by someone else, can trigger this social awkwardness. And now they're like, well, now I don't know what to do.
Mm.
And I just think,
so is it always bad though? I mean, I think we're talking about it as it's just, something to avoid or whatever, but could there be benefits?
I think there can be. And I think people who are considered socially awkward are more observant. They tend to be more analytical, which can really be beneficial in certain professions and in certain settings if they're kind of sitting back and like, you know what, I'm going to observe and not be the center of attention all the time and be the one that's in the middle of it. But that can be really, really helpful and beneficial.
I would think also they'd be more sincere, more honest about things, especially since they see things in a different way.
Yeah.
And that can be really refreshing. It can be jarring, if what they see or talk about can be too brutally honest. But I agree. The kids that I've been around who are just a little bit more awkward, don't fit in socially, tend to be a blast to be around if you can get them to open up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So we always want to give tips, but for this one, I'm going to save this section on tips for dealing with social awkwardness for the end. So we'll be back with that.
All right.
Because you are listening to this podcast, we can assume a couple of things. One, that you have great taste. And two, that you care about teenagers. That is why we are so excited to introduce you to our sponsor, Lubbock Christian University. Whether you or your teen are interested in furthering your education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect place to start. Contact our friend David Fraze to find out more about LCU and life in ministry to young people at david.fraze@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Chaps!
But for our trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about exercise.
I love this topic.
You know, I come up with these and a lot of times, and I'm just laughing because, like, I don't really know why exercise is a trend, but it is, I guess. Oh, no, I remember why. We'll get into it. Okay, I just had a moment where I was like, what am I doing here? But I know, I have a plan, don't worry.
All right.
So I looked up the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommends that kids and teenagers ages 6 through 17 have 60 minutes or more of moderate to vigorous physical activity every single day.
Wow, an hour.
Yes, which seems like a lot. And apparently the public agrees because another study said that only 25% of American teens actually reach that recommendation.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Actually, that sounds high.
Yeah. So the minimum recommendation is 30 minutes a day. Wait, hang on. 30 minutes three times per week.
Right.
So that's like the minimum, but what they really recommend is an hour every day, which if your kid is playing sports, they probably get that most days. But for some other students, and especially maybe younger teenagers who aren't fully into a lot of sports or physical activity yet, that might be difficult to get them to that 60 minutes a day.
Yeah. And I've heard that 30 minutes three times a week is kind of a, you know, a good baseline for not only kids, but adults as well. And of course, I'm thinking about this in terms of being an adult, an hour a day of moderate to vigorous exercise sounds like I'd be in a great mood all the time if I could do that, right?
Yeah.
But I can see how that could be a challenge for a teenager as well.
Yeah. And I think especially, not to get into this too much, but I think about this with my kids. TV is more readily available, video games, tablets, like there's more stuff to do inside, where I feel like when we were younger, it was very much like, get outside or you're bored.
Right.
And so encouraging students to put down their phone or to do something that's going to kind of put their social life on hold sometimes can be difficult. But it's worth it because there are lots and lots of benefits. Some of which, so if you compare inactive teens to physically active teens, the active teens obviously are going to have higher levels of fitness, usually lower body fat, but they're also going to have stronger bones and muscles to go along with that.
And a kid who's exercising, physically active is going to have improved cognition, and really it's going to, that's going to carry through academics. That's going to carry through a lot of life, memory, those kinds of things, and really reduced symptoms of depression with physically active teens. And that's pretty, I mean, that's not a stretch to be able to see that. That's not, because we know as adults, when we are physically active, we tend to be, we show up a whole lot better to the places that we're in, and life tends to be better whenever we do take care of our physical bodies through exercise. I think, you know, this is a, before we kind of get into the tips, you know, this is an intimidating conversation because I feel like when we're talking about fitness, that conversation tends to be dominated by the ultra fit, the ultra, you know, I see it on TikTok, I see it on all these different places where people who are pushing fitness are the ones who, you know, have chiseled abs and, you know, cut and all this kind of stuff that is obviously, well, it's obviously their profession, right? That's what they do. And so that sets a really high bar for a lot of people to think, man, you know, it's either sit in the couch or work out all day. And it really isn't that. It is about creating those healthy rhythms. And in so many ways, you know, especially when we're talking about teenagers having that long range view, of you're setting habits in place that are going to lead to a much healthier life whenever you do put this in place.
Yeah, I totally agree. So to get into some of the tips, though, I think one of my biggest tips, and this is going to, when you hear this, I feel like everyone's going to be like, well, duh, but try to find something that they enjoy doing. So exercise is so much more fun, even for me as an adult, when it's something I enjoy rather than like, I am not a runner. So if you're going to make me run an hour, that's probably not going to happen. But if you get them involved in a sport or a dance class, or maybe they just love being outside, just even a walk is great exercise. That if you can find a really cool park or a pond, or even in the middle of Texas here, there are like little nature, I'm going to say preserves, but that's probably not the right word. But like,
let's go with preserves. I like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Those nature-y places to walk around. So find something that they enjoy, and that will probably make hopefully getting to that minimum a little easier.
Yeah. And I think with that, kind of kind of mixing it up. And so, you know, hey, today we're gonna walk, or today, hey, we're gonna do a HIIT workout. Just whatever those things are that you just had to do, that you change that up. Even if it's, hey, I'm gonna go play a round of golf or do something like that, where it's not just the same thing over and over. So it makes it more sustainable. Definitely avoid going too far with it and overtraining, because that's a thing. This is not an exercise podcast, but recovery is huge, right? Yeah. And so if you're not allowing the time to recover and, you know, take care of yourself, or just almost get too habitual about it, then that's going to lead to burnout or injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important to emphasize like the effort instead of the performance. And I'll also say emphasize this idea of healthy habits and just getting active over weight. Sometimes when we bring in exercise, it also goes along with this weight conversation, and maybe just focusing on like, hey, let's focus on what you're doing and the effort that you're making and the fact that you are moving your body, and not how fast can you run a mile, but just like, hey, you ran a mile today, and that's a really big deal. And I think sometimes that's important too.
Well, too. And I think you're onto something with that, where we really, especially with a teenager who might be prone to body image issues, with exercises, to kind of try to separate the two of those things out, that maybe this isn't about losing pounds or looking a certain way, but it is about quality of life and well-being. And that this is what this conversation is about. You know, so if a kid's really struggling with how they look and think this is the ticket of looking better, let's maybe separate those things out. This isn't what this is about, especially this particular podcast and conversation. This is about, you know, all those things that we talked about, the higher level of fitness, you know, better cognition, reducing, you know, those mental health issues, right? You know, exercise is a great therapy for a lot of people, for sure. And so making sure that we keep those things in place.
So here is where this comes in, that it's a trend. Here's what I was thinking.
I've been waiting.
So exercise right now is really trendy because you see it on TikTok all the time. And I think that's a cool way. If your teen is looking for strength exercises or a way to do something, maybe encourage them to get on TikTok and look up some things. Like you said, Chris, some of that is dominated by these overly fit people, but you can find some good exercises on there, and you can get advice from physical trainers and all these really cool resources on TikTok for free. YouTube has a ton of classes, dance videos. And then I feel like I've mentioned this before, but there's an app called Fit On, and I will link this too, that you can buy a premium version or you can do most of it for free. And they have a ton of different videos. So yoga, strength training, there might be like even like meditation, there's some dance stuff, there's HIIT workouts. So, and a lot of them you can choose like how long you want them to be. So some of them can even be as short as like 15, 20 minutes. And so there are just some really cool, even like trendy resources out there for teens to start moving. before the tip, let's go back to overcoming social awkwardness, Chris. Step back into the awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And my first tip is to create an action plan. So kind of what I mean by that is maybe practice with strangers, if that's easier sometimes than people you know, saying hi in the grocery store line. Hmm. Or if it's easier with family, put yourself in situations with your family where like, okay, today I'm going to make small talk. I'm going to ask three questions at dinner and step out there. And, or maybe setting a goal of I'm going to meet three new people this week. Sometimes also like having some conversational scripts of like, okay, here are three questions that are acceptable to ask someone if I'm just getting to know them.
Also, being kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. Teens will obsess over their reactions more than the people around them. It maybe feels more awkward than it actually is, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to beat up, especially if you say something kind of off or weird or just kind of you made it awkward, just to be able to laugh at ourselves a little bit when those things happen. I shared with you before this podcast a really awkward interaction I had with someone where I had to just like, hey, you know, it's not much you can do about that.
Yep.
But you laugh it off, encourage them to be kind and just be kind to yourself whenever you do feel like you've kind of messed up a social situation.
I think also identifying socially tricky situations. So if you know when I'm in this type of situation, things go less smoothly or I get more anxious, identify those and try to come up with patterns. Like it might be overstimulation, or it might be anytime there are strangers around, or anytime this one person is around, I feel very socially awkward. And if you can kind of come up with that pattern, and this might be ask some questions of your teen and help them come up with that, then maybe you can come up with some strategies to help them handle it. And one tactic, which sometimes I have to do this still as an adult, is to simply like act confident. And just kind of be like, I know no one in this room, but I'm going to pretend like everyone is so excited to see me. And sometimes fake confidence can breed real confidence, if that makes sense. Like if you go in of like,
I'm going to wear
a big smile and pretend like I'm a really bubbly person, or even think about that person that you think is really good in social situations. What do you think they would do in this situation? And kind of fake it till you make it sometimes can work.
Well, too, I mean, I think there's a difference between fake confidence and overconfidence, right? Mm-hmm. I think we might confuse those two. And so I have, in many situations, relied on some very fake confidence and has done very well for me. And I'd even get feedback from the people I was with when I got to know them better, and they just thought I was confident, you know? Mm-hmm. And that just gives you that practice for sure. And then that fake turns into real. The more that you're able to do that. But along those lines, you know, if you continue to tell yourself, I'm not a confident person, I'm awkward, but basically if you tell yourself you're going to be awkward, you're going to be awkward, right?
Yeah.
And some kids do it ironically. I mean, there's no doubt about that, where it's kind of a little joke that I'm just awkward or whatever, but be present and be positive and know that you belong in the conversation, whether you feel awkward or not, and have that confidence that you bring a lot to that situation, even if you do feel uncomfortable. The more that our teenagers practice this, the better they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, that's a wrap on this episode, this very awkward episode of the Teen Life Podcast. And if you like this, we encourage you to subscribe so we don't feel so awkward. Follow us on social media, review us. We love to see reviews. It helps other people find our podcast and listen. Share with a friend, tell someone that you love this episode. And I'm sure you have friends who have teenagers who would need to hear something like this.
Yeah.
And with that, we will see you next week.